Boy, the Bible says he inhabits the praise. Amen? Best thing you can do for him is praise him every day and thank him and give him glory for everything he's done. And you know, if you allow the devil, he'll make a pack mule out of you. He'll pressure you. He'll put all these worries on you and all this other stuff. And what a great time to come into the presence of the Lord and just leave here, like Paige said. You know, we all have issues. We all go through things. And what a good time, you know. God's got everything under control. Amen. God said he's got everything under control. Turn it over to him. If you could do it, if you could fix it, you'd already be fixed. So just realize that he's the only one that can fix it for you. And, you know, back when I was self-employed, I used to dread April 15th. And one year, April 15th, I don't know, 20-some years ago, everything I had was due. Ashley was due. Yeah, she was born on April 15th. My taxes were due. My mortgage was due. Everything, you know. And I thought about when Peter got all excited. Jesus, it's tax time. What are we going to do? He said, go fishing. That's what he said, go fishing. And he said, the first fish you catch, he said, take the coin out of its mouth and go pay our taxes. And, you know, I asked the Lord about that one time. I thought, you know, that's awesome. God even put a coin in a fish's mouth. But then I had a vision. Seriously, I had a vision. And I saw it, and I saw a shipwreck. And they used to carry treasure chests on them ships. And when the shipwreck, the treasure chest came open, and all these golden coins were floating down into the ocean, and the sun was shining on them, and these fish were just eating them up. They thought they were bait fish. You ever been to Canada? They use spoons up there because they're shiny. Doesn't that make sense to you? Amen? That fish had a coin in its mouth because of a shipwreck. And that the son, and he ate that coin. But the main thing is, Jesus knew right where that fish was that ate the coin. Come on. He knew right where it was. The Bible says he knows what you need before you even ask him. And because you came here today, and because you're in his presence today, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. I was spent quite a bit of time with Bruce and the Millikens and Tanya this past week. I was over there for, I don't know, Thursday, Wednesday, I believe, yep. Well, you know, and I was, a lot of things started to pressure me. And in my spirit, things started to pressure me, and my mind was going certain directions because I had a lot on my mind, a lot of things to get done. And, you know, this one needed me here, that one needed me there, and everything else. All the pressures of life tried to get on me. And then as you walk in Ruth's house, right up on the left wall, up high there, the scripture says, be still. And I read that, and as I was walking around praying in the spirit under my breath, I looked up and it said, be still and know that I am God. I said, I think I will. Come on, I think I, what better advice, right? So this is my message today, be still. And the Lord led me through a bunch of scriptures here. And if we get through all of them, fine. If we don't, fine. Because there's an anointing here today to change your life. Come on. There's an anointing here to change your life. The healer's in the house. I've been in ministry for 40-some years. I've held meetings everywhere across the United States, around the world, actually, in different mission centers. And one thing I know where the anointing is and I know where it isn't. And there's a strong anointing here today to change your life. There's a strong anointing here today to change those watching by live stream. There's enough anointing here to change you. It's what it is, it's the presence of an almighty God. It's the Holy Spirit. So I want to start out in Exodus chapter 14. And I want to read verses 10 through 13. And Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. This is after they left Egypt. They were on the way out of Egypt. And they look back, and man, Pharaoh and all that, they were coming after him, coming after them to destroy them. When he drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Now, when the Bible says sore afraid, that means they were scared to death. They thought it was all over. They feared for their life, scared to death. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Don't wait till you get in trouble to cry out unto the Lord. Call on him every day. Come on. Because he wants to walk with you. He wants to speak to you in your spirit realm. He wants to anoint you. They cried out. And then they griped to Moses. Everybody wants a gripe when they get in trouble. They said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Let me just say this. He says, is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? It had been better for us to serve the Egyptians, or you could say be slaves, than we should die in the wilderness. Let me tell you something. God didn't bring you out of Egypt for you to die in the wilderness. God didn't save you and bring you out of your old lifestyle and bring some of you out of them dead churches that you used to go to die in Egypt. He brought you out that you might have life, come on, and have it more abundantly and experience his presence like you've never experienced before. There's an anointing here. Woo! Now look what Moses said in verse 13. Moses said to the people, and this is always what Jesus said when there was chaos. Every time an angel of the Lord would appear to one of God's people, the very first thing he said was, fear not. Don't be afraid. He said, fear not. Stand still. There you go. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall never see them again forever. Come on. God is going to destroy some of the enemies in your life, and you're never going to have to see them forever. Whether it's the enemy of depression, whether it's the enemy of anxiety. Amen. The children of Israel were in the most frightening situation they had ever been in their lives. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They were scared to death. They said it would have been better to remain a slave in Egypt than to die in the wilderness. They were squirming around like a bunch of ants. First thing they did was cry to God, cry to Moses. Moses said, stop it. Get a hold of yourselves. Don't be moved by what you see. Fear not. Stand still. Take a deep breath because God's got this all taken care of. And that's what God's saying today. Stop squirming around. Stop being afraid of the situation that you're in today. And just stand still and see God work it out. Because if you could fix it, it would have already been fixed. Amen. When fear grips your heart and tries to pressure you, and it seems like the enemy is overtaking you, it's time to stand still, calm down, and give God time to work. Come on. Stand still, calm down, and give God time to work. Settle down. Get out of his way. Come on. Hello. Let him do what only he can do. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is nothing. Hello? Sometimes the hardest thing to do is nothing. Especially when you're used to moving. You're especially used to getting things done. Nobody on planet Earth ever had it worse than Job. Nobody. Nobody. His children were having supper at their oldest brother's house. All of his kids having supper at the oldest brother's house, drinking a little bit of wine, eating some good food. And all of a sudden, a tornado came through and killed every one of them. All at once. I know what it's like to lose a daughter. I know what it's like to get that news. It's not very good. But I couldn't imagine losing all my children at one time. And then all of a sudden, he loses all of his livestock. Then his sheep were burned up. The Sabians took all of the oxen. The Chaldeans took his camels. And if that wasn't bad enough, Job was smitten with boils, the Bible says, from the crown of his head to the bottom of his feet. Lost his health. Boils. The closest thing I've seen to boils was a man in Monrovia, Liberia, West Africa, back during the Civil War. He was in a prison and he had leprosy. And they came, one of the ministry team came to me and said, I heard that you do prison ministry. I said, I do some in the United States. They said, would you please go to a prison with us? I was expecting a facility. It was nothing but a lean-to. It was nothing but an old, looked like an old picnic shelter with an old roof on it and people just laying under their suffering. And so they said, this man's dying of leprosy. Would you pray for him? And then I started to go up to lay hands on him, and boy, does the devil talk loud. He's contagious! First thing the devil said. And some of the Africans, he's contagious. You don't want to touch him. I thought Jesus said that we would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Jesus didn't say we'd lay hands on them and catch the same thing. We don't live in fear. That just made me even more anxious, and I'll never forget laying my head on that black fellow's, laying my hand on his head, just the flies and the pus all over him, the flies eating the pus, and he wept and he cried as the Spirit of God went into him. Amen. Did you catch it? I'm here today, aren't I? That was 30-some years ago. I've laid hands on thousands of people since. But we're not called to live in fear. And here's Job, these boils all over his body. He should have died of depression right off the bat. How many people would have died of a heart attack if they lost all their kids at one time? Boom, the house burned down. A tornado came and boom, killed them all. Well, you'd want to go with them. I know how that feels. But here's Job. And if that wasn't bad, his own wife told him, go ahead and curse God and die. He said, woman, you talk like a fool. Shut your mouth. That's what he told her. And if that wasn't bad, Job's best friends accused him of living in sin, and they told him that he was being punished by God because he had sin in his life. Don't ever let the devil lie to you and give you that garbage. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I like what Paige said. Before she gave her life to the Lord and learned the Word of God, she was concerned and it bothered her about what everybody said about her. Then she found out what God said about her, and what God says about you is more important. And right in the middle of all of Job's trials of life, God spoke to Job through a young man by the name of Elihu, or it could be Elihu, E-L-I-H-U. And I want you to see what he said to Job in Job chapter 37, verse 14, right in the worst time of Job's life. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still. Calm down. Stop listening to the voice of the enemy. Stop listening to all the things your wife's trying to tell you, all the things your friends are trying. Stand still, Job, and consider the wondrous works of God. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Stand still. And when I have to be, this one's in this hospital, and this one just in this sad hospital, and this one's at home, and then I've got other things to take care of. And could you imagine having to take care of more family than yourself? Some of you have a full-time job just taking care of one family. And then I listen to the Lord, and I'll draw back, and I'll stand still, and I'll think about all the wonderful things that God has done in my life the past 40-some years. He said, Job, get your mind off of what you're going through. There's nothing you can do to change that. Stop listening to all the voices out there that's telling you it's your fault. that you've sinned and you shouldn't be in a situation and curse God and go on. Stand still, Job. Shut your mind down. Shut your spirit down and listen, listen. Consider all the wondrous works of God. Consider what he has done. Boy, that's a message for the church today. Stand still. And when Job finally settled down from everything he was going through, God spoke to him out of a whirlwind and reminded Job about just who God was. He actually rebuked him. And we need rebuking sometimes. And then finally, Job took his eyes off himself, prayed for his friends, and after he prayed for his friends, settled down, listened to God, God healed his body and gave him twice as much as he lost. Come on, give the Lord a hand. God is in the restoration business. Job chapter 42, I want to read verses 12 through 17. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. He had 14,000 sheep. You have to have a lot of land to handle 14,000 sheep. You got to have a lot of employees to take care of 14,000 sheep. 6,000 camels. 1,000 yoke of oxen. 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Boy, he got to work real quick, didn't he? He had to be healed because there ain't no woman sleeping with a guy with boils all over him. Come on, I'll tell you right now. Come on. And he called the name of the first Jemima. That reminds me of Aunt Jemima syrup. I'm not a racist now. I loved Aunt Jemima syrup, but don't make me. Named the first one Jemima. Second one, Keziah. Third one, that's too hard. Karen Hapuch. How would you like to be named Karen Hapuch? Boy, that'd be awful. But in all the land, there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. And after this, after Job was restored back because he stood still, and considered the wondrous works of God. He stood still long enough for God to speak to him. After all of this, glory to God, Job lived 140 years, saw his sons, his sons' sons, even 4 generations. And so Job died being old and full of days. Give the Lord a hand. What a restoration. Talk about the greatest story of restoration in the Bible. He had to stop focusing on what he was going through. He took the advice of Elihu, who said, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. And if every one of us will take time to stand still and look back, God has been good to every one of us. The prophet Samuel was sent to Saul to anoint him to be king. And Samuel was trying to tell Saul God's will for his life. And Saul was running around and doing all this stuff. And this had to be done and that had to be done. And going all these different directions. And 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 27. Look what Samuel said to Saul. As they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. Let your servant go. Let everybody go by us. I want to be alone with you. And then look what he said. And his servant went ahead and went on. He wanted to be alone. But stand still for a while that I may show you the word of God. Sometimes we need to stand still, listen, and hear what God is trying to tell us. We need to shut everything down when we're pressured in life. Stand still and listen to what God's word says. One scripture can change your life forever. One scripture. If God gives you revelation of one scripture, it will change your life. He said, get the rest of these people out of here. Stand still for a while that I may show you the word of God. That's a message for every believer right there. We get so busy in life getting caught up in the rat race. And even if you do win the rat race, all you are is a winning rat. It's the truth. I was coming down the hill there leaving Dallas the other night and around a turn, a blind turn, this pickup truck passed me. He didn't get there any quicker than I did to the interstate. Not only was he in a hurry to go nowhere, he almost knocked, run me off the road. Amen. And the world, we get such a big hurry. We have to be there. We have to do this. We get all this. But we need to learn to stand still long enough to hear the voice of God. Come on. We all need to learn to stand still long enough to hear the word of God. The scripture that I quoted to you earlier is found in Psalm 46 and 10. Be still and know that I am God. Don't worry about what's going on in the world. All the chaos that's going on. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. And what a good time for him to be exalted among the heathen than this upcoming 2025 with a new presidential administration. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Amen. Back when the COVID hit, and I hope we never have another year like that. But man, you talk about fear gripping the heart of so many people. And I mean, they were running around and all this other stuff and scared to death. And you better not leave the house before you wear a mask. And some people weren't even allowed to go into their own relative's house unless they were sprayed down. I'm not coming to your house if you're going to spray me down. And everybody was all shook up and, you got to do this and you got to do this and you got to shut the church down and all these voices and all the stuff in the news media and all the garbage Fauci was feeding everybody. And you know what I did? I stood still. I got alone with him. I called a couple of men of faith that I surround myself with. And I called some of these men of faith and I said, I believe God's telling us to stay open. I know that people's getting in my face. I've got family members are threatening me and all this. Everybody, you know. And every one of them said, Pastor, I agree with you. You follow the Spirit of God. But I went to one of the most righteous people that I know is my wife. This woman's got more faith in her toe than a lot of people got. She's got a lot more faith than I do. I can tell you that right now. And I said, Mary, what do you think about it? She goes, you do whatever the Lord's telling you. See, God speaks Southern. I tell you, the Apostle Paul was from the South. You want me to tell you how I know? He said, I speak with tongues more than y'all. That's what he said. Read it. I had to get still because all these voices and the other pastors in town shutting down. And I was going by a church sign on Main Street. And I thought, man, I'm going to be encouraged because there's a church down there that's got a big sign like ours. And I know it's got something on there about faith. And I went by and it said, remember social distancing. Remember the social distance. Stay 6 feet away. How am I going to lay hands on somebody 6 feet away? And then I saw on YouTube, this is a fact, where a priest was putting holy water on somebody. They were 6 feet away and he was shooting him with a squirt gun. I saw it. Made no sense. And then the whole world really got in chaos because there was supposed to be a shortage on toilet paper. You remember? Fear gripped their heart. Running around, don't squeeze the Charmin. We got only got so much of it. Just, it was chaos. If that wasn't bad enough, I'm up in New Albany with Kenny and Barb. Spent the night up there. Kenny had back surgery. And the next day we go over to the recovery room to see him, and these ambulances come. And they dropped him on, they allowed him to fall on his head. Those ambulances was for him. And Barb went to pass out, and I grabbed her and stuck her in the car. He's going to such and such a hospital. We need to get there. And they didn't want to let me in because of the COVID. I said, look, I'm a pastor. I will not say nothing. I'm just going to sit in here and pray for him. Let me in here. And all I did was they let me in. They made sure, you know. And then I started praying in other tongues. And I'm thinking, all this stuff's going on in the world right now. And then I get a call from Todd Hines. We got bad news. What? Somebody turned us in for having the building for without a permit. But they didn't shut us down. And in all this chaos, we didn't go, you couldn't go see an architect. Everybody was shut down. So we built, and you know, God gave us favor, never shut us down. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Never shut us down. So I had to meet with the head guy up in Zanesville, you know, the building department, and I had to explain to him why we were doing it. It was so funny. I walked in there, but man, I was prayed up. So I seen the guy working for him over there behind us. He was kind of laughing, you know. He's like, I want to see what's going on here. And so the guy had a cross on. He says, I want to know why you started building without a permit. And I said, well, sir, I said, first of all, I've got the best contractor in the valley. He knows what he's doing. I said, all the architects, everybody shut down because of the COVID. And he said, you should have came to see me. And then he melted. He goes, I can't find a church. I said, that's good. You can't find, that's good. I want you to bring me in. I already driven. I worked for the government. I was pretty good at drawing architectural drawings. So I drew him all these plans and everything we were doing and all this other stuff. And we went up and we had favor. Here the guy that was laughing was a youth pastor at his church. It was already cut and dry for, give God the glory here. Come on. I had to be still. All this stuff happening. And I had to get alone with God. Are you listening to me? Be still and calm down, or I would have been a basket case, and so would Barb. Thank God Kenny's still with us today. Give the Lord a hand. Everybody survived. We survived because God said, be still and know that I'm God. When Jehoshaphat found out there was a great multitude coming against him to do battle. I mean, they were coming from all over the place. And fear gripped his heart. And I want to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and the first 7 verses. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them besides the Ammonites, others besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to do battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, man, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they're in Hazmatar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, there it is, that word fear. But he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He had enough sense to do that. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. They knew they were in bad trouble. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven and rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in your hand, is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? He started praising God for who he was. Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever? Boy, he was bargaining with God. He was reminding God about God, what God had done and about what God had said. Now I want to go to verses 12 through 18. Our God, will you not judge them? We have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, this is getting rough. I need some. The son of Manaiah, a Levite of the son. They didn't have to put all that in there, did they? Anyways, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, okay? They were all praying. They were all looking. They needed direction. And Jehaziel had a word for all of them, a word from the Lord. Amen. Thank God when you get together, God speaks. And here's what he said in verse 15. He said, "Hearken, all Judah, all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you," very first thing God always says, "be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." How many battles do we fight in the flesh when they're not even ours to fight? Because we get so excited. Verse 16. "Tomorrow go down against them. They'll come by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel." Now look at verse 17. I love this. "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand still." Glory to God. "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Woo! "See the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. He said, "Stand still." Glory to God. He said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. The battle is not yours. It's God's. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you." You know, the word salvation means more than just being born again. You know, salvation is an all-inclusive word. If you ever look up the word salvation, especially here, it means deliverance. It means victory. It means healing. In other words, God has everything you need. He's got you covered. They told him, "Stand still. Don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Man, is that not a word for the church today? Amen. Always remember this. Always remember this. Because it's just very important. Whenever you're in the presence of the Lord, there's a stillness. Stand still. Whenever you're in the presence of the Lord, it's never chaotic. There's a stillness there. He'll never lead you into chaos. When you're led into the presence of God, when you finally stand still, there's a peace that passes understanding. There's a stillness. And when God gets your attention, there's a stillness there where he can speak to you. You remember Jesus said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." There's no chaos going on in heaven. God never looks to Jesus and says, "Oh my God, what are we going to do? Look at the mess they're in now." Jesus is never walking around heaven eating Rolaids, all shook up over what's going on down here. There's a calmness. There's a stillness. And you can experience that even before you go to heaven if you'll stand still long enough and press into the presence of God. God's never over anxious. Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Can you just imagine laying there in a beautiful sunny day on the ground by a still brook of water? The only thing missing is a fishing pole. This is good stuff. He leads me beside the still waters. Why does he lead me there where he can speak to me? And if I'll slow down enough in life and allow him to lead me there, you'll be surprised how he'll speak to you when you shut your mind and your spirit down. And then once I get still, he restores my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't be afraid. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah! His house. Not just a house with walls. We are going to dwell in his house forever. Not only here, but when we walk out of this body, we will be in his house forever. And there'll be a stillness and a calmness that he wants us to experience while we're on this earth. Praise God. He leads me beside the still waters. And once I get still, he can restore my soul. He can lead me in the right direction in life. I'll know that he's with me. There'll be no fear in his presence. Jesus is such a perfect example. I just love it. And you know, when you study the life of Christ, and man, I can't tell you how many hours I've spent, because when I found out what he did for me and how he went to hell in my place, man, I wanted to learn about him. When he turned them tears of anger into tears of joy, I wanted to learn about him. Because nobody else could tame me. I wasn't as bad as the madman of Gadara, but I was pretty mad. Mary, no, don't say amen. You sinned right along with me, baby. Look at John chapter 11. Are you getting anything out of this today? Come on, help me out. Are you going to calm down a little bit? A certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany in the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And we read this around Easter time. And therefore his sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary, and he did love Lazarus. But when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 days still in the same place where he was. He didn't run. He didn't get excited. He got still before God. He got still for 2 days. What was he doing? He was hearing from heaven. Not only was he hearing from heaven, but the Spirit of God was anointing him and strengthening him and getting him prepared for the greatest miracle that he ever did in his life. Raising a man from the dead that had been dead for 4 days. Knowing that he had to fight through all the unbelief and all the accusations. If you'd have been here, he would have died. Why did you come? Oh, I called for that pastor. It took him 3 hours to get here. Ah. Come on. And we needed him so bad. You can go to the Lord for yourself. Listen, if you try to get a hold of me and I don't answer, I'm not home laying on the couch. I can tell you that right now. But what was he doing for 2 days? He was getting strengthened by the Spirit of God. He stood still. God was preparing him to do something that had never been done before. You know what he did? He rested. He rested. Jesus had to have rest. God had to have rest. And we need to have rest. Come on, give the Lord a hand. I'm not talking about being lazy. You know, you can be sitting down here. You can be sitting still, but in your mind you're going 100 miles an hour. Some of you are sitting here and you're not even listening to what I say. Your mind's somewhere else down the road. How do you know? Because it's happened to me when I used to be a church member. Hello? That's why you need to get prayed up before you come to church and say, God, I'm going to come here. Lord, speak to me today. Lord, tell me something that's going to help me today. I'm going to come and I'm going to worship you. I'm going to pay my tithes. Lord, but speak to me today. Lord, I want to put myself in a position to hear from you. And if you put yourself in that position, you'll hear from God. Heard he's sick. He stayed there for 2 days. Hebrews chapter 4, 9 and 10. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. We all need to back off once in a while. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. Look here, as God himself did from his. If God needed to rest, we need to rest. Rest, always remember this. Rest is always required for restoration. Rest, I wrote this down the other day, rest is always required for restoration. It's part of the covenant that God made with the children of Israel. I'm going to go to Exodus, and she's probably got it up there. Exodus 31, verse 17 for time's sake. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. God had to rest. That's what it says, doesn't it? On the seventh day, God rested and refreshed. One of the meanings of refreshed here means to be breathed upon. God was breathed upon by his own spirit and was refreshed. How did he do that? He had to stop what he was doing. He made everything. 6 days he took care of business, and on the seventh day he rested and he allowed his own spirit to refresh him, to build him back. Isn't that awesome? And if God needed that, so do we. Amen. I know you guys are studying on the Holy Spirit, and one of the Greek words for Holy Spirit is pneuma. Did you get that far yet? I'm not even sure if it's in the book. Look it up. It's P-N-E-U-M-A. It's pneuma. It's one word for the Holy Spirit. There's other words for the Holy Spirit. And one the meaning is air in motion or breath as something necessary to life. You remember when God created man, what did he do? He breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. And the Holy Spirit, listen, you remember when Jesus came back from the dead? And the disciples were scared to death. They thought the Jews were coming after them next. And he said, peace be still. And then the Bible says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Breathed. We need the Holy Spirit to breathe on every one of us. Come on, give the Lord a hand. We have to have it. We have to have it. God is so good. God rested and was refreshed by the Holy Spirit. And we need to learn to do the same thing if we're going to finish our course. We need to learn when to stand still. Amen. Be still and allow him to reveal himself to you. And when the pressures of life come, back off. Stand still. Read the Word of God. I was thinking about when Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house, and man, Martha was all upset and anxiety and all this other stuff. And Mary dropped what she was doing, and she sat still at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. Mary was all upset. Lord, don't you care that Mary left me alone to help me and all this other stuff? And Jesus said, one thing is needful. Ash, I think that's in Luke 10:39. Put 41 and 42 up there. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're troubled, careful about many things. Verse 42. But one thing, here it is. One thing is needful. Listen, church, in your life, really only one thing is needful. Mary chose that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now you can put the other verse back up there. What did Mary do? She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That's needful for everyone in this room to stand still and hear what God's saying. That's why I'm so thankful Joe Ritter sends us a sermon every day. Joe, we want to thank you for that. Every day he sends us a sermon, the word of God. What did Mary do? Sat still. Sat still. Jesus did the very same thing. After he fed the 5,000 men, besides the women and children, you know what he did? He went to a quiet place and he rested. Study it out. He got still before God. And I believe it's Matthew 14:23, and she's already got there. It's her. Can I give you a few more scriptures that will help you today? Amen. When he sent the multitude away, I mean, man, there was a ton of them. He just fed 5,000 men besides all the women and all the children. He was exhausted. He went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Well, what was he doing? He was getting refreshed by the Spirit of God. Amen. He got himself still. It was hard for him to be still because everywhere he went, thousands just thronged him and touched him, and they wanted to get healed and they wanted to get their legs restored and their eyes open. I mean, for three years, he lived a chaotic life, but he always took time to be still. He always had his alone time with God. The multitudes followed him. And I'm going to bump up to Mark chapter 6, actually. I want to look and see what Mark recorded here. I'd love to see what all the writers of the Gospels recorded here because it helps so much. Mark chapter 6 and verses, 30 through 32? Is that what you... Boy, she's good. She has that up there already. The apostles gathered themselves together to Jesus. They come back and give him a report of what was going on, what they were doing. Told him all the things, both what they had done, and they also told him what they had taught. Now, they were exhausted. They'd been out doing the work of the Lord. They were hungry and everything else. And he said to them, come you yourselves apart to a desert place and rest a while. He said, get away, go to a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure even as much as to eat. They didn't even have time to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Every one of us need our alone time. Amen? Every one of us need to stand still. Come on and take our alone time. He said, rest a while. Be still for a while. Get refreshed. Let the Holy Spirit restore you. Don't allow the bad stuff that's going on in the world to cause you to lose your faith. Give God time to work. Be patient. People with no patience have no rest. People with no patience have no rest. And we're going to close in just a minute. I want to close with Psalm 37 and verses 3 through 9. I've got a lot more to give you, but I understand that it's getting late and we have nursery workers, children's teachers. I just want to read this to you. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's simple. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you'll dwell in the land and verily you shall be fed. Amen? I don't think anyone here lacks food, do you? Huh? Man, I was over there all week with Ruth and man, I mean, somebody cooked something different every day, and I'm telling you what, my goodness gracious. And then Sue, we took two loaves of her homemade bread over there, and that even added to the poundage. Yep. Look what it says. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he'll bring it to pass, the desires of your heart. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, that means be still. Wait patiently for him. Don't fret yourself because of him who prospers in his way, the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Get your eyes off the world and what's going on. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, and don't think about doing anything evil. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, those that get quiet and wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Come on, give the Lord a hand. They shall have everything they need. And I know this for a fact, that fear, anxiety, stress, everything related to it can be overcome by learning to be still and resting in the Lord. Calm down. Give him time to work. And then you'll be able to cast all your care on him and you'll be able to leave it there. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to praise you and thank you for everything that you've done this past week. Not only in my life, but in the life of everyone under the sound of my voice. And Father, I want to thank you that there's some today that they're going to be still. They're going to take more time to slow down. And when the pressures of life on them, when the enemy tries to make a pack mule out of them, that they're going to be still and they're going to know that you are God. And that you're going to work everything out in due time. And Lord, I ask for a special blessing here today that you'll bless everyone under the sound of my voice. And Father, I ask that you'll bless those watching by live stream. And Father, I ask that you'll bless Janet Toothman today over in Medical Park and that you'll bless Ruth Milliken there in her home today. Give her the best day that she's had. Give her rest. Give her a peace that passes understanding. And Father, we're careful to give you all the glory and all the praise, not only for what you've done, but what you're going to continue to do in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You are